Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
You know, the Proverbs are excellent reading. I highly recommend that you read one proverb a day for every day of the month. And a lot of months have 31 days and there are 31 proverbs. And on months that are shorter, you can just read two proverbs for the 30th and day of the month, and that way you'll read the 30th and 31st proverb. And in February, you'll have a couple of extras to read. But those are excellent reading. And they're good to read along with your other Bible reading because there's so much wisdom in them. Now, in Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 17, we find some great wisdom. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners. So then you know what we learn from that proverb? Don't envy sinners. Let not thine heart envy sinners. You see, a problem for many Christians is that they envy sinners. They think that sinners get to have, you know, all the fun. Now, when we're talking about Christians getting in trouble with sinners, we often talk about peer pressure. That is, the sinners, I'm talking about those who are lost, those who are not saved, those who are out doing bad things that, you know, corrupt the manners of a Christian. We often talk about peer pressure, but what this verse is saying isn't peer pressure. Let not thy heart envy sinners is not peer pressure at all. This is pressure that you put on yourself because you want to do what you see other sinners doing. You want to be able to say what other sinners are saying. You want to be able to go where you see sinners going. In other words, the pressure is not from them to you. The pressure is on you, coming from you toward them. They're partying. You don't get to party. They're cussing. You don't get to cuss. You know, they're living it up, and your life is dull in your mind. And what happens is you envy sinners. And the Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now you say, well, why should I not envy sinners? They seem to be having all the fun. Don't envy sinners for three reasons. Number one, they are an abomination to the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. They are an abomination to the Lord. In other words, you're looking at them and you think, wow, that's fun. Wow, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be able to say. I want to be able to tell an off-color joke and have people laugh at me. I want to have the audience. I want to have the recognition. I want to be the life of the party. That's what goes through your heart. I understand that. I faced the same things. And literally, they weren't putting that pressure on me. I put that pressure on myself, and you do the same thing. But what we don't think about is that people without Christ who do those things are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. You get the idea sometimes, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, God must love everybody. But that statement is not true. God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. And that love is unconditional. That love is pervasive. Anybody in the world can access that love if they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible is clear. God hates sin. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And there's other places in the Bible that show some things the Lord hates. He hated Esau. And so the froward is abomination of the Lord. You may be thinking, boy, they're living it up. Look at that. They're having a great time. But you're not looking at that situation from God's perspective. And so God records for you in the Bible what his perspective is. He says, don't get the wrong idea by looking at that. They're laughing. They're in a bunch of foolishness. They're acting carefree. But they have to face me one of these days. And right now, I am not happy with what they're doing. It is an abomination to me. The next verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Oh, wait a minute. Why? Wait a minute. No, God's not blessing that. He blesses his children. He blesses those that follow him. He blesses those that love him. He blesses those that live for him. And when somebody doesn't, you know, it's not just the absence of blessing. The Bible says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. In other words, there is an aggressive move by God at some point to bring down the house. You look through that Bible and you see people who lived a wicked life, and then you look at what God does. And I'm telling you, boy, when he comes down on them, it is not good. Proverbs chapter 3 goes on to say in verse 34, not only is the froward an abomination to the Lord, not only is the curse of the Lord in the house of the wicked, but he scorneth the scorners. In other words, when somebody scorns God's truth, he turns around and scorns them. You say, what does that mean? Well, by the time they finally wake up and they are facing now the destruction for that life they have lived, they seek the Lord and suddenly they don't find him. He laughs at their calamity. He mocks when their fear comes. Because they're crying out. They don't want to know God. You know what they want? They want out of the trouble they've caused for themselves. They don't want to have to reap what they've sown. They don't want God. They don't want the Christian life that you and I enjoy. They don't want to live for God. They don't want to be around Christians in church. They just don't want to now face the consequences of their sin. So they start trying to run around finding somebody to pay the bail, to get them out of jail, to stop the reaping of what they've sown. And God's just crossed his hand. You scorn me, I'll scorn you. And he laughs at their calamity. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And the highest they get, you talk about the promotion of fools, the highest they get, the pinnacle of their success, is shame. And you want that? You want to be an abomination to the Lord? You want the curse of the Lord? You want to be scorned by God? You want shame as your promotion? Don't envy sinners. There's nothing there. You're not looking at it the way that God sees it, and you're not looking at it in reality. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Why? Verse 2, for their heart studieth destruction. Don't envy sinners, first of all, because they're an abomination of the Lord. And secondly, their hearts study, destruction. Their lips talk of mischief. You see, they like destruction and mischief. Oh, they don't want it to come to themselves. But they like it. They are entertained by destruction. They are entertained by mischief. Consider the content of the Hollywood movies. They rent these movies. They watch them on their televisions. They go to the movie theater to see these movies. And what are you looking at? Destruction and mischief. That's what you're seeing. And they pay money to see those kinds of things portrayed, and to listen to men cuss, and to watch adultery, and to look at extortion, and look at death, and look at murder, and all those kind of things. That's what they study. They like that stuff. But the problem is, they fall into mischief and they face destruction. In other words, you start living a life where you are chasing that kind of thing, and suddenly the mischief in which you found pleasure is bringing destruction to you. It turns back upon them. Don't envy sinners. Their hearts study destruction. Look, drunks die of cirrhosis of the liver. You ever seen anybody dying of cirrhosis of the liver? I'm going to tell you, that is not a pretty sight. Smokers die of lung cancer. And I realize there are people that have had lung cancer and never smoked a cigarette a day in their life and other things like that. Hey, but I'm telling you, we were walking through an airport one time, not here, but I think, where were we? We were in Costa Rica, or we were in Africa, somewhere. We're walking, and there's a carton of cigarettes, and I mean in bold letters on the side of the carton of that cigarettes, smoking kills. They got all past that, you know, the Surgeon General warning is that there's an increase of risk of cancer if you smoke and that kind of thing. No, it just says smoking kills. I thought to myself, now that is well said. You get right down to the point where everybody in the room can understand it. Drugs die of cirrhosis. Smokers die of lung cancer. Fornicators face many complications with sexually transmitted diseases, some of which even cause death. Dope addicts die. Oh, and that's a miserable death when they die. And on and on. We could go through the list of sins. You know what the sins are. You understand that there is hell to pay at the end of that thing. Listen, they all wind up in hell unless they get saved. So why do you want to be a part of that? People have said to me when we've witnessed to him, well, man, if salvation is that easy and it's all taken care of in Jesus Christ, then why can't I just come and get saved now and then go and commit all the sin that I want to sin until I die? If you really got saved, you wouldn't want to do that because you realize there's destruction associated with it, and you also realize those are the things that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. That'd be the last thing on your mind. You'd fight against the temptation to sin. You wouldn't always be victorious, but you'd try. Envy sinners. That's ridiculous. They're an abomination to the Lord. Their hearts study destruction. And look at Proverbs chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked wife, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. There shall be no reward to the evil man. Let me say it one more time for clarification. There shall be no reward for the evil or to the evil man. The verse goes on to say, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Everything they work for ends up in someone else's hands. You see, when you get saved and you live for the Lord Jesus Christ and you lead souls to Christ, or you glorify God, or you give for the work of the Lord, and work for God and serve Him, there are rewards in abundance awaiting you at the judgment seat of Christ. We also realize that we have to face the judgment of God in the fear of God for things that we've done in the body that, hey, they don't pass that judgment. But I'm going to tell you, there for most people that are trying to do something for God, there is something waiting for you on the other side that you get to enjoy for eternity, not for the evil man. They are not rewarded. They are destroyed. The candle of the wicked, the Bible says, shall be put out. Don't get caught up in their sin. It can kill you, and it will destroy any hope of a future reward. Listen, for a saved person, You have access to rewards before God, but you turn and envy sinners and say, I'm just going to go live like they do till I die. There will be nothing for you in the way of a reward from God when you get to heaven. Nothing. You blew it all down here. Don't envy sinners. You say, well, easier said than done. Well, you see what the problems are. They're an abomination to the Lord. Their hearts to study destruction. There's no reward to the evil man. So what do you do? Well, I say, don't envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. You say, well, how can I be strengthened against that? Follow these guidelines. We'll give you three guidelines to follow. Keep it simple so that you can do something to protect yourself against that envy that is the rottenness of your bones. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. All right, here's the first thing. Choose none of their ways. In other words, you say, well, my heart, I mean, I still like what they're doing, and I would like to be accepted by the crowd. Hey, the Bible says, choose none of their ways. It is a simple guideline you can follow in order to keep yourself out of trouble when your heart is stirring up those kinds of anxieties within you. Choose none of their ways. Look, see the ways that sinners go. And when you see those ways, then you pick something else. In other words, don't go that way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Okay, so you see all these people on the Broadway say, I know where that leads. It leads to destruction. And that is not the way that I'm going to go. I'm going to go on a narrower way, which is the way of Jesus Christ. All right, so that's how you avoid the trap of falling into the envy of sinners. Look, watch it. They steal. What should you do? Work. Let him that stole steal no more, the Bible says. But let him work with his own hands, the thing which is good. Work. They cuss. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. They watch bad movies. All right then, you read your Bible. They fornicate. Okay then, you flee youthful lusts. In other words, Paul admitted you're going to have youthful lusts. He said that to Timothy. And you know what he told him to do? Run, dude. Flee. Flee youthful lusts. That's what you need to do. Because if you don't, you're going to end up in trouble. They drink alcohol. Then you know what you need to do? Be filled with the Spirit. I mean, in other words, there's something going on when they get alcohol. They get loose-lipped and loose-minded and loose in their, you know, in their ways. And that's when they think they're having a big time till they wake up the next morning. You be filled with the Spirit. There's no hangover with that. And joy is better than foolish laughter. And peace is far better than what they have to face after they wake up from their inebriation. And on it goes. They use dope. Well, then you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, I'll guarantee you it's better than any high they've ever had. They walk with fools. Then you walk with wise men and walk by faith. You see, anything they do, you do the opposite. They seek worldliness, you seek godliness. Choose none, not some, none of their ways. That's the first thing you do when you're facing envy. Second thing is found in Proverbs 23:17. Proverbs 23:17, if you don't want to envy sinners, and I'll tell you what, I don't, and I don't want you to, then let not thine heart envy sinners. That's what Proverbs 23:17 says. Watch it. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Second remedy, second guideline, fear the Lord. Surely there is an end, verse 18 goes on to say, of Proverbs 23. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, if you have an expectation that if I envy sinners and I go off and do what they're going to do, then I'm going to have some fun. But if you fear God and you say, well, wait a minute, there's an end, and they're going to face mischief, they're going to face destruction, and I don't want that, then you have an expectation. And your expectation is that you would be rewarded, and your expectation is that the joy of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God is greater than the laughter of their foolishness. And you say, then I'm not going to envy sinners, I'm going to fear God. And you know what the Bible says? And your expectation shall not be cut off. Your peace will exceed. Your joy will exceed. Your love will exceed anything they could possibly ever experience. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everything hinges on fearing God. When you fear God, you'll quit envying sinners. Say it again. When you fear God, you will quit envying sinners. When you fear God, you look up there and you really, really understand what it is to fear Him. You really have drawn close to Him and you really are facing Him with fear and trembling. The last thing in the world you want is what sinners are involved in, because you know what they're going to get. And you're like, I used to think that was fun. And I thought, but I do not want any of that foolishness. You won't want one thing they have. And you won't want to do one thing that they're doing. A man told me when I was entering Bible college, hey, you can't go to the movie if you want to go to this college. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's interesting. You know what? after you fear God, after you've lived for God, after you've turned away from sinners, I don't want to see. You don't have to tell me not to go. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Why? Because I know what's on there is stuff that is abominable to God. And I don't find pleasure in it at all. But where did that come from? My goody-goody two-shoes? Not on your life. It came from something God imparted in my heart and probably in your heart when you feared God. So don't let sinners convince you otherwise. Oh, did you see that real good movie about that blah, 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 and you know all that wickedness is in there saying, you know what, I didn't and I'm not going to. Don't envy sinners. Rather follow these guidelines. Choose none of their ways. Secondly, fear the Lord. And third, fret not thyself. Look at Proverbs 24:19. Fret not thyself because of evil men. That's Proverbs 24, verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. To fret is to be worried, is to be vexed. And when a person envies sinners, they're constantly like, oh, I'm worried about it, I got to get in. They're vexed about it. When you fret, you're anxious. Don't worry about sinners. Don't get worked up because they look down upon you. Don't get worked up because they ridicule you. Don't get worked up because they exclude you from their company. Don't let what they do or say get under your skin. Don't lose power with God by trying to gain favor with the wicked. You aren't cool in their eyes, and you never will be cool in their eyes unless you make a fool out of yourself before God by trying to be what they are, to do what they're doing so you can find favor with them. Look, man, some of us have been down this road. And we understand what it was that drove us into the desire to get into those things. We wanted to be like them. And I'm going to tell you something. Find contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ and be happy with Him. Oh, you say, I can't do that. I can't even see Him. Oh, He's there. He's there. If you will seek to be content, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you will seek to be content in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will be happy with Him, what they're doing will not influence you, not even in the least. You won't even care for it. It surely won't make you anxious. You won't lose one night's sleep thinking about all the fun they're having and all the bad things they're saying about you while you and Jesus Christ are peacefully enjoying an evening together. And good night's sleep with no regrets the next morning. Listen, Jesus Christ is the only one in the universe who matters. When it comes to correcting a problem with envy against sinners, He's the only one you need to concern yourself with. Look, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Every bad thing that was said there was also countered with a statement that was great. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 said, "Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination of the Lord." Watch it. But, this is Proverbs 3:32. But his secret is with the righteous. Oh, wait a minute now. You're telling me? Yeah, I'm telling you. You find contentment in Jesus Christ and happiness with Him. There is a secret in that relationship that nobody in the world can understand until they get saved, turn from their sin, and literally love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. And then they find that that secret fellowship with the Lord, and there is nothing that the world has to offer that exceeds the joy and the peace and the comfort and the happiness and the fullness of that secret relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 3:33 goes on to say, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just." I'm telling you, there is nothing like having the Lord bless your habitation. In other words, when you spend it all on the envy of sinners and scorn God, He lets it happen. Your house crumbles down around you. But listen, when you fear God and you turn away from the wicked, He blesses your habitation. Oh, what a privilege! What a privilege! And then verse 34: "Surely He scorneth the scorners, but I love these." Every time He says, yeah, this is the bad thing, but here's the good thing. He giveth grace unto the lowly. Do you know what it is to have the grace of God? You're saved by the grace of God. Do you know what it is to live by the grace of God? Do you know what it is to be strengthened by the grace of God? Do you know what it is to have the grace of God be poured out upon you when you are faced in a temptation to sin, and that grace abounds where sin abounds, so that you don't, so that you can turn away from it, so you have a power against it? Do you even know what that's like? Let me tell you something. When you get a taste of the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he labored more abundantly, yet not I, he said, but the grace of God that was with me. Listen, until you plug into that, you have never found what it is to have power. When you get into that grace of God and you find out what that is, there is nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing that this world has to offer to compare with the bounty of that grace. And you got to turn away from sinners to get it, and not fret thyself with sinners over those things that you see in their life. You're missing out on the blessing of the habitation of the just and the secret that God has with the righteous and the grace that he gives unto the lowly. You know what he says in verse 35? He said, shame shall be the promotion of fools. Right, you know what you get? The wise shall inherit glory. What? Have you seen how many times the glory of God was displayed for you and illustrated for you and described for you in the Bible? And the Bible says, the wise shall inherit glory. You get to share the glory that God has, that has been displayed for you in the Bible. Unimaginable. There is nothing in this world to compare. You say, well, yeah, but the movie stars, they get their big star there in the sidewalk in Hollywood. Nothing. They get the Emmys. They get the Grammys. They get the gold medals. Nothing. 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 Nothing to compare with the glory of God. The wise shall inherit glory. You know what the conclusion of this message is? Don't envy sinners. Envy is a terrible thing to beat. You must identify it for what it is and deal with it the Bible way. Otherwise, you could find yourself in a world of hurt, and that is the last thing we want for you. We want you to experience the joy of turning away from that envy. God bless you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.